This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A massive settlement over how Johnson & Johnson sold medicine.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's one of the biggest settlements of a healthcare fraud case ever. Johnson & Johnson has agreed to pay $2.2 billion to settle charges over how it aggressively marketed drugs. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is here. Sabri, what was J&J accused of doing?
So a doctor can prescribe drugs for unapproved or so-called off-label uses, okay? But it's illegal for a company to market it that way when the drug hasn't gone through the process of being vetted and actually approved for that use. And that is what Johnson & Johnson is accused of doing here in the late 90s and early 2000s. There's a drug called Risperdal, which is approved for treating schizophrenia, but prosecutors say Johnson & Johnson promoted it as a way to treat anxiety among elderly people with dementia, even though it could increase their risk of death. Prosecutors say the company also promoted the drug to treat mentally ill boys, even though it could cause them to grow breasts. In the settlement, Johnson & Johnson pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge over misbranding the drug. But in a letter to its employees, its lawyer said they strongly dispute the government's version of events and settled basically just to move on.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishour. Last year, Britain's GlaxoSmithKline agreed to pay $3 billion in a case involving the marketing of antidepressants and a diabetes drug. Turning now to the business of digital entertainment, Call of Duty is one of the top video game franchises in the world, but the publisher spends hundreds of millions of dollars to market each new version. The latest Call of Duty is out today, and as Shannon Mullen reports, there's more competition than usual.
Last year, it took 16 days for sales of Call of Duty to top $1 billion. In September, competitor Grand Theft Auto V hit $1 billion in just 3 days. No wonder a Hollywood director shot Activision's ad for the new Call of Duty, featuring actress Megan Fox.
Great. Thanks for asking.
That's a sign of them not leaving anything to chance.
Chris Graft is editor of Gamma Sutra.
They don't want to spare any expense and risk the chance of potentially dropping off of people's radars, especially as we head into the holiday shopping season.
Game publishers also have shareholders to please. Dan Hsu is editor of GamesBeat.
Whatever the game franchise is, you see them come up a lot year after year because there's so much pressure on these public companies to produce revenue.
And this year, gamers on a budget have more than new games to choose from. Microsoft and Sony both launch pricey new consoles later this month. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
To jumpstart a magazine piece the other day about getting Americans to eat healthier, the New York Times asked an ad agency to think up how broccoli could be rebranded. Broccoli, 43% less pretentious than kale, was one idea. Well, it turns out entire countries do this kind of rebranding all the time, not of broccoli, but of their national identities. Rutgers University professor Melissa Aronchik is author of the new book, Branding the Nation. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the people who brought you Chevy, Skippy Peanut Butter, Hilton Hotels, these sorts of people are also working to brand countries?
That's right. Branding consultants suddenly have discovered a whole new market.
So interesting. They bring them in. After the fall of communism, Poland, for instance, needed a little work with its brand.
Poland decided that it needed a new brand just as it was joining the European Union. They really wanted to be perceived as part of the West. They wanted to be seen as a market economy. It was very important for them to develop a new and improved identity in the eyes of the world.
And not far from Poland, in fact, adjacent, we have Germany, which has needed brand work over the years, among other things. Tell me about that case.
Right around the time of the Soccer World Cup that they were hosting in Berlin in 2006, they worked with branding and marketing consultants, and they came up with a slogan, Germany, Land of Ideas. And they developed this fantastic set of billboards featuring Claudia Schiffer draped in little more than the German flag, inviting investors to come to Germany to invest.
What do we know about the effectiveness of these branding campaigns?
In the case of Germany, if you counted the number of stories about how people felt that Germany had become just a little bit more friendly and maybe even a little bit sexy, there were quite a few stories about that. So for Germany, this was really considered a successful campaign.
We all know that words and language is power. Branding is also power. Who gets included in the national brand presumably reflects the power, their power in society.
There's really only one message that you're trying to get out with the brand. That's part of the brand's power. It's designed to stick in people's minds. I set out with the assumption that branding was bad, that branding would somehow create an image at the cost of complexity and difference. But with some countries, it really did seem to promote a conversation about what the country stood for and what it wanted to be in the world. So even if the branding campaign that was developed for a country failed, the conversation had been started.
Melissa Aronchek is a professor of journalism and media studies at Rutgers. The book is called Branding the Nation, The Global Business of National Identity. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.